Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this being a Monday morning, we're going to begin with our special feature. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher of the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And every week for the Sunday morning sermon, I give somewhat of a review of that sermon in the church bulletin. And so I write the bulletin out and hand it out among the people. As people walk in, they take one of these bulletins, and then I preach the sermon so that they can not only hear the sermon, but have the gist of it in written form in the bulletin. And on Monday mornings, I read from the bulletins articles that I have written for my sermons of the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And I want to begin that this morning. Our bulletin is called The Rock Cliff Review. And the title of this bulletin article is, Let Me Show You How to Use Your Bible. Sometimes I am asked, how is a good way to begin a Bible study with someone? Every individual situation is unique, so there is no one right answer. But this is a simple method that has worked well at times for me. I ask, do you have a Bible? Can I see it? Almost every home has a Bible in it. Often these Bibles are not used very much. My goal in beginning a personal Bible study is to get people into their Bibles. By getting them interested in the Bible they have, without criticizing their translation, you can tell them that some translations are made easier to read. But in making them easier to read, it sometimes makes it harder to get to the real meaning and depth of the text. It is good to have a quality translation to compare with as we go. I try to steer beginners toward the New King James Version. If they do not have one, I bring them one at the next study, a nice one for them to keep. You can expect the gift to be appreciated, but do not force your favorite on them. Just begin where they are with what they have. Next, I try to explain that the Bible study helps that are in their Bibles. This will vary from edition to edition. Show them the list of the books in the Bible at the front and how they can find books they are looking for by page number. Show them the maps on the back. If their Bible has it, show them the concordance, the dictionary, the center column references, the marginal notes or footnotes, and show them how to use these helps. If it has italicized words in the text, explain why they are italicized and why they were inserted. Explain the benefit of chapters and verses, but tell them that it is good to read past them at times to keep these divisions from interrupting the flow of thought. All of this may seem elementary, but for many, this may be the first time anyone has explained this to them. There are a lot of study Bibles available, filled with extra biblical notes. Even the most basic Bibles usually have headings at the top of the page, chapter summaries, or a book of introductions. Explain that while these may be helpful in navigating our way through the Bible, they are the works of men. They should be distinguished from the text itself, which is the Word of God. I commonly say that we can judge the works of men for their merit, but we treat the text itself differently. We let those words judge us. With this done, I go into this simple 5-point introduction to the Bible. I like to write the 5 points on a piece of paper as I go. Number 1, the Bible is one book. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, 66 books in all, but put them all together, and we have one book written by about 40 men in 3 languages from 3 continents from all walks of life over a period of about 1,500 years and on the most controversial subject in all the world, that being the subject of religion. But put them all together, and we have one book. It is one, because it is of one mind. This is a God-given book. Number two, there are two major divisions of the Bible. Turn to the page dividing the Old Testament from the New Testament. Tell how that the Old was written to prepare for the New, and how the New makes the first old, and how one Testament helps explain the other. A failure to understand the difference in the use of the Old Testament and of the New Testament is one of the reasons there's so much confusion about the Bible. Number three, there are three dispensations in the Bible. That is, there are three ways God has dispensed with or worked with men. The patriarchal dispensation was a family system wherein God spoke to the families of the world through the fathers. The Mosaic dispensation is a national system wherein God spoke to the nation of Israel through Moses and the prophets. The Christian dispensation is an international system wherein now God speaks to everyone in all the earth through Christ and his apostles. Number four, there are four subdivisions of each of the two major divisions in the Bible. In the Old Testament, there are books of law, history, poetry, and prophecy. In the New Testament, there are four testimonies about Christ. We'd call them Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One book of history, which is the book of Acts. 21 letters, commonly called epistles. And then there's the book of Revelation. This is largely a literary division, and knowing the kind of literature we are reading helps us to appreciate the substance of what we are reading. And then number five, the Bible's story covers 15 historical periods. And when I'm sitting in an individual Bible study with a piece of paper in my hand, I like to write the names of the historical divisions as I go. So for reference, they are as follows. First, the antediluvian period. Two, the post-diluvian period. Now that word diluvian means the flood. And so we're talking about the time before the flood and the time immediately after the flood. That time immediately after would include the story of the Tower of Babel and the scattering of the peoples. And that ends at the time when God calls Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees. That begins number three, the patriarchal period. And most of that is covered in the book of Genesis, where we read about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And then we read the period of Egyptian bondage, in which God raised up Moses and through the plagues on Egypt brought them across the Red Sea, out leading them toward the land of Israel. And so that comes to the fifth period, the wilderness wanderings, where the children of Israel go to Mount Sinai and receive the law. And because of their lack of faith, they are wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Number six is the period of conquest, where we read how Joshua leads the people into the land of Israel to take the promised land for their own. And then seven, the book of Judges. And right now, in the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're talking about the book of Judges, and we'll return to the story of Gideon momentarily. But after the Judges, we read number eight, the period of the United Kingdom. The people wanted a king like the nations round about them. And so we read about the kingdom when they were all 12 tribes under one king, Saul. And then the one king, David. And then the one king, Solomon. But after Solomon died, Rehoboam became king. And we have the time of the divided kingdom. And in the north, the kingdoms that are the 10 tribes to the north, all of the kings of those 10 tribes were evil, wicked kings, until God became so disgusted with them that he had the Assyrians carry them away into captivity. And those people that were of those 10 tribes lost their identity among the motley of the nations. And so they're called the Lost Tribes of Israel. And that brings us to period 10, the period of Judah alone. And there are some redeeming characteristics among some of the kings of Judah, but for the most part, the Jews in Judah rebelled against God as Israel had done. And so God raised up Nebuchadnezzar and had him destroy the temple and the city of Jerusalem and carry the Jews away into captivity. And so the period 11, the period of Babylonian captivity. And one of the chief heroes of this period is Daniel. And you know him probably mostly by the story of Daniel and the lion's den. But after the time was fulfilled, as spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, a new king arose over Babylon, the king of the Medes and the Persians, and he allowed Israel to return to the land of Canaan. And so we have this period of restoration, period number 12. And we read about Ezra and Nehemiah coming back to Jerusalem, rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the walls, and rededicating themselves to God. And then we come to this period 13, which is the period between the Testaments. It's about a 400-year period in which there was no prophet in Israel. The interesting thing about this is, even though we don't have that history in the Bible, we have that prehistory in the visions of Daniel. And a proper study of Daniel will carry us through this period between the Testaments until we come to period number 14, the life of Christ. And we read about him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And let me tell you about those three books. They're so similar, but they're not the same. They're all documenting the same oral history that was being told about Jesus by those who were witnesses of him and saw him. Matthew was one of those witnesses, and likely Mark, when he was a young man, saw some of these things. But Mark wrote down what was being said about Jesus in those early days. And then John, he was the old apostle at the end that kind of filled in the gaps on things not told earlier. Luke was a historian who came and checked it all out and found it to be true and documented what he discovered in the book of Luke. And of course, as I say this, we know all of these men were guided by the Holy Spirit in the things that they said. After the life of Christ, we come to the book of Acts, and here we have the history of the early church, how it was established on the day of Pentecost, and how the apostles preached the gospel into all the world. It is during this period that the 21 epistles were written. The raw documents of history are letters, and this little pack of letters has had such an impact on the world. Why, you can read those letters and learn what the church of the New Testament was like, and then we'll know what we need to be like if we want to be a church of Christ. And at the end of these letters, we have the book of Revelation, a very different kind of literature, told in signs, highly symbolic and of great controversy. But with study, we can even come to understand many things about God and His will for us as it's revealed to us in that apocalyptic literature, Revelation. Apocalypse means revealed, but it's revealed in symbols. And so we have to get into the meaning of the symbols to understand the book. Well, now that's the Bible. And you know, when you go through the Bible like that, the Bible suddenly becomes accessible. It seems like an intimidating book until you break it down into its proper divisions. If you would like a Bible study, you call me, Bill Boyd, 931-314-4740, or text me at WMHBOYD at AOL.com, and I'll sit down with you with your Bible and get you into your Bible, and you will discover what a wonderful book you have at your disposal and be glad that you did.